Why don't we pray and ask God to be with us? Father, we thank you for the word of God that has been preserved for our edification. And we know right now in this moment that we don't stand a chance in really understanding the depth of your word without your Holy Spirit. So send him in his fullness just now to be our teacher. May we understand, may we live by what we hear, and may we get closer to Jesus Christ because of it. In his name we pray, amen. Our text of scripture for today is found in Mark chapter 14, and we read from verses 22 to 25, I believe, for our scripture. Josh led us in that. Thank you for that earlier. But this morning, I would love it if you would read with me from verses 12 to 16, and then we'll jump to verses 22 to 25. We have it on the screen for you, and so if you would join with me in reading, I would appreciate that. The Bible says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?' And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city. A man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, "The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Then verses 22 to 25. Sorry, skip to 22. There we go. Here we go. Ready? "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" Who says amen to God's word today? The last communion. This will be one of the last meaningful events that Christ will have with his men before he goes to the cross. And he has everything planned out already, even down to the man whose home they will use to have their final meal together. The disciples assume what will transpire will be along the same lines of what usually happens when they celebrate the Passover. But what Jesus has in mind this time is very different. This time, Jesus will share a significant piece of himself, a symbol of his death and resurrection, what it means to be a disciple of Christ, and the reason he came to the earth in the first place. Jesus will reveal to his men the very essence of his mission, but the depth of the meaning will elude them. They will understand it better after Jesus is gone. It is the last communion that Jesus will have with his men, and it will be a special day. And I want us to notice two things about this event that I believe we can draw significance from today. First, consider with me the amount of preparation that Jesus puts into the Last Supper. Jesus tells his men exactly who to meet and where. You just read it. Did you notice that? He describes what the man will be carrying and says to follow him to his master's house. "We won't use the entire house," Jesus says, "but a guest room where we'll eat. That room," Christ says, "has been furnished and prepared already." Jesus has clearly taken the time out to make sure that things are organized and arranged for his men. And this is the first thing that we learn of significance today. Here it is. Preparation reveals significance. Preparation reveals significance. Repeat after me. When something is important, I'm always prepared. Put it this way. When something is important, I always prepare. If that's true in your life, say amen. The things that are really important to us, we take time to prepare for those things. Let's go a bit further, though. Jesus says that it will be a man who is carrying a water jar that will be ready to lead Peter and John to find this upper room. Now, scholars say that it was customary in their day for women to carry water jars, not men. So this man carrying the water jar would sort of stick out like a sore thumb amongst all the women who are doing the same thing. It's a nice detail for Christ to consider as he leads his men into a better understanding of his death. And I want to say that when we follow Christ's instructions, he always makes things plain enough that we won't be led astray. When we ask Jesus to tell us, he will show us, and it will be obvious if we know where to look. Who says amen to that today? That's the way that Jesus is with us all the time. Scholars also reveal that since Mark says the room was furnished and ready, he seems to be indicating that Jesus had made previous arrangements with the owner of the house to have things ready for the Passover. According to Jewish custom, anyone who had a room available must give it to a pilgrim who asks to stay in order to be able to celebrate the Passover. So Jesus made prior arrangements so that the normal things would be ready: the table, the couches, the cushions on which they recline, the water basins, the towels, all of that was ready. The disciples didn't have to do anything. They were responsible for preparing the meal that Jesus prearranged, but Jesus was the one who prearranged the venue. The reason is because I believe Jesus believes that we are significant to him. So he took the time to prepare for his men. Significance shows importance. The fact that Jesus had a place ready shows that he loves his disciples and that it's an important event. Several years ago, April and I were traveling to Pine Forge to visit my brother. My younger brother back then used to be a professor at that school, Pine Forge Academy. And so we decided to go and visit him. And the day that we were traveling, it occurred to me some days before that the day we were taking to travel up there would be Valentine's Day. And in the past, I must admit, I have not done the best job as a husband to be making sure that the significance of the day was felt. And I didn't want to mess that up again. And so a week ahead of time, I realized we're going to be traveling for several hours from Durham, North Carolina, up to Pine Forge Academy, and it's going to be Valentine's Day. I better make sure I'm prepared. There were these two young ladies at our church who had like a little business that they were doing where they would make baskets for you, and you could put anything in them, and they would do different baskets for different times of year. And I asked these two young ladies, 12 and 13 years old, if they would put together a basket for April of some of her favorite things. Stuff that wasn't even that expensive. And they made the basket for me. And then, on Valentine's Day, as we were traveling up, we had been in the car for a few hours. I'm not even sure April remembered it was Valentine's Day. I reached into the back while I was driving and pulled out this basket and put it in her lap. And her face beamed. She lit up. Why? Because I spent a bunch of money on her, right? No, it had nothing to do with it. It was barely any money. She cared what I did because it looked like I cared about her. Why? Because I prepared for the day. I had to think about it beforehand. I had to ask somebody to arrange this. And everything I showed her and told her about that I had prepared, it made her feel even more loved because she knew that preparation symbolizes how much you think something is significant. Jesus was preparing for his men that day. And his preparation revealed how significant we are to him. And that day of significance shows another significance that is more ultimate than that. I'm about to show you that in a second. Mark chapter 14 and verse 25. Here's the second thing that we learn. The Bible says, read it with me, "Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Who says amen to God's word today? Jesus gives a promise to his men that he will abstain from the fruit of the vine until he is able to drink it new with them in his kingdom. So here's the second thing that we learn. Jesus is fasting for us. Do you realize that? Right now, Jesus, if this is true, still has not drank any grape juice because he's fasting for you and for me. This declaration is significant because it ties the communion service to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Scholars say that vows of abstinence were common in Palestinian Judaism. They added deep meaning and weightiness to the act from which the person would abstain. And here, Christ reveals just why it is that it's such a meaningful act on his part. You see, there is one more thing to this phrase, fruit of the vine. There's more to it than meets the eye. One commentator says, the fruit of the vine is the liturgical formula for wine used at a feast. It was celebratory, a celebratory act reserved only for special occasions. And the occasion to which Jesus refers is the celebration that we will have in heaven after the great and awesome day of his return. The drinking of the cup at the supper anticipates the perfected fellowship of our heavenly reward. And after that day, we will never part from Jesus again. So Jesus is trying to show more significance, not just about what he's doing right now with his blood being spilt on our behalf, but it's also supposed to be a foreshadowing of what's going to come in heaven when he drinks that wine with us anew for the first time since back then. Jesus is fasting for us. When I was a kid, I used to listen to a kind of music that I don't condone you listen to now. It was a type that had foul language in it. But there was something that these musicians would do when their comrade would pass away or something like that. Someone would die, maybe in a gang-related shooting. When they would drink, they would pour some. They would say, I'm going to pour some out for my homie. You ever heard of that before? You know what that's for, right? There's something about sharing in this celebratory thing together that because my friend is passed away, he's not there to be able to do it with me, I can't enjoy the whole thing, so I pour some of it out. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to drink any of it at all until I'm back with you again. He can't enjoy it. Why? Because the whole point of it is for us to celebrate together as we're in heaven, never to part from him again. Who says amen to that today? So Jesus wants to cast a vision for the disciples of the future by using this anticipatory language to describe his fast from grape juice. Jesus wanted to keep them focused on heaven. In fact, the servant of God says this, it was designed to keep this hope vivid in the minds of the disciples. Wherever they met together to commemorate his death, they recounted how one day he would drink it new with them in his kingdom. So that now, when we drink this cup today, you can think both about what Jesus already did for you in the past and what he's going to do with you in the future. He says, I'm going to drink that thing anew with you in my kingdom, and I'm not going to drink it again until I see you face to face. So the cup now has a double meaning. It represents the spilt blood of Christ. Even as we ingest it, we remember why it is that we can have what we have in heaven with him one day. Christ's promises, they remind us that this cup is inferior to the one we'll drink in heaven, that perfect cup that we'll drink in the presence of Jesus Christ himself. We just came out of a season of fasting this past month. You remember that we fasted every single week in the month of August from something different because we were praying, asking the Lord to help us with our missing members and to do what we wanted to do as far as reviving us as a congregation, and we thought it was worth it. But I personally believe that I spared you during the month of August because I never once asked you to fast from food entirely. Did we ever do that? We didn't, did we? We had a food-related fast. One time we fasted from sweets and desserts, but we never once fasted from food entirely. Have you ever fasted from eating food? It's hard, isn't it? Yeah, I've done it before too. There was one time back when we were in Durham, North Carolina, we were going through a stewardship campaign trying to pay off our mortgage. We had a $1 million mortgage we wanted to pay off in 3 years. And I remember we decided to all sacrifice more money, but we also said, why don't you couple that with some kind of fast? Pick your own fast and decide what you want to do. And people picked all kinds of things. There were some members who said, I'm no longer going to buy lunch when I go to work. Instead, I'm going to brown bag it. And they said, instead of that money that I would spend on lunch that I would buy, I'm going to use that and give that money to this stewardship campaign. There were other people who said, I'm going to fast from buying any new equipment or any buying any new gadgets during this time, and the money I give, I'm going to give to something else. Well, April and I decided to fast from food every Monday. On Mondays, we said, we're not going to eat any food. Instead, we'll just drink this fruit juice that we'll make in the Vitamix. And those of you that already know me, you know that I really, 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 really like to eat. I like food, but I like the process of eating. Like, I like picking it up and putting it in my mouth. I like chewing it. The mastication process is fun. Swallowing it, you know, I can feel it actually going down my esophagus. And, you know, I love it. I don't know why. I just like to eat. And there's something that happens to your pastor when he doesn't eat for a long time. He gets what they call hangry. You're like hungry and you're angry about it. You know what I'm talking about? And every Monday, we would have this problem around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd be grumpy because I didn't get to eat. But then I was reminded about the reason why we were fasting. I remembered this big and grand thing, to pay off this mortgage, to be able to have this house of God paid off. It was a wonderful and it was a great thing to be doing. And so I said, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be in that mood. As soon as I remembered the reason why I was fasting, my mood changed. I went from being grumpy to now saying, you know what? I should be thankful that we even have the opportunity to be able to do this. And so here's my point. I believe that God must be depriving himself of something. Grape juice is tasty. That's good. And he said, I'm not going to drink that again until I see you. I would like to think that when Jesus thinks about the reason why he's fasting, it makes it easier for him to do so. And because he knows one day that we're going to see him face to face, we ourselves will be able to be reunited with Jesus Christ, and we'll be able to spend the ceaseless ages of eternity with him again. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So that's it. Jesus prepares for us, and Jesus right now is fasting for you and for me. Doesn't that make you feel important? Doesn't it make you feel like he loves you? Now think about this. Jesus is God. What in the world does God, what business does he have doing anything for human beings, especially people that neglect him all the time? Jesus prepared for us? He's fasting for us? Brings a new meaning to what we're doing today at this table. When Jesus did it for the disciples back then, he wasn't just doing it for the 12 of them. He was doing it for every disciple of Jesus Christ to follow. And I'm one of those disciples. What about you? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you want to celebrate the fact that Jesus prepared for you? If you do, raise your hand right now. If you know that one day soon you're going to be reunited with Jesus, raise your other hand. Now look up and say, I surrender. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what Jesus Christ has already done. And we thank you for what he is about to do for us as well. We are living in the last days, and we know that Jesus is coming soon. And so this table has a double meaning for us today. We remember what his spilt blood means for us, but we also know that it activates our ability to see him in peace when he comes the second time. Help us to be ready. Help us to remember today because of this table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.